psalm as the basis of our talk this morning. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The last of our four talks on the valleys, there are many others that we might have explored together, but you remember that we have been looking at some great experiences as far as the Christian life is concerned. We saw the Valley of Baca, the place of weeping, which we would easily and often come to, quite unsought. We thought about the Valley of Achor, which was an avoidable valley, because it was only significant because of sin, and there was no need of sin. Last week we were thinking particularly of Elah, the Valley of Elah, where Goliath, the enemy of God's people, was brought to naught. And this morning we come to the end of the Christian life, the end of the pilgrimage, a valley through which all must go, unless our Lord returns before that, when we shall be translated without seeing death. But we can only say that so far as our outlook is concerned, we must go through the valley of the shadow of death. We must go alone, and there is no return from others who have passed that way. It's no wonder, therefore, that David wrote such a psalm as the 23rd psalm. It's a real gem, a psalm that has brought tremendous comfort to countless men and women down through the years. But the comfort of it, of course, is all wrapped up in the first verse. Because only the person who can say that the Lord is my shepherd can claim all that follows. It's because he is my shepherd that I shall not want. And so it develops in its comfort. First and foremost, we find there is the discovery of the shepherd. Then in verses 2 and 3, there is the continuing experience. Makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness. And on until we come to the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it's all part of the psalm, of the shepherd's psalm. It goes on, you'll notice, that there is the presence of the enemies, but there is the final assurance in verse 6, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great thing this is. Going right through from the start, the beginning of the Christian life, when we first knew Christ as our shepherd, right to the time where, throughout eternity, we dwell in the house of the Lord and with the Lord. I want us this morning just to think of this valley of the shadow of death. But first of all, I want to notice that it is the place of a shadow. The place of a shadow. I remember reading many years ago now about a person who was an avowed atheist. And this particular person died. And when they came to burying him, there was no kind of religious service, obviously. There was nothing at all. They went to the graveside. And all that the people could say, all that his pals could say was, Cheerio Bill. And that was how it was reported in the paper. And that was the end. There was nothing to follow. Nothing to comfort at all. And this sense of finality is something that grips you. And the finality is certainly underscored in the Word of God. Where in the epistle to the Hebrews we read, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. It is a very final thing. But our text speaks about a person who comes to the valley of the shadow, the place of the shadow. Imagine the sheep as they are following the shepherd. They have been in one pasture, they are moving on. They are moving on through a valley, and the valley gradually begins to narrow. The height, the hills at the side begin to steepen. The rocks become more overhanging. They begin to mount up to the sky. It seems as if the whole place is becoming gloomy and becoming overshadowed. But however narrow the path of the valley becomes and however steep those rocks become, it is never completely blotting out the sky. It's still a valley. The blackness is the blackness of shadow, not a blackness of a tunnel. This is why it's so careful to show that this is the valley of the shadow of death. And here, of course, is the very key to the whole thing. The key to the whole thing is that there is not a tunnel through which we pass, but a valley. And the writer speaks about the shadows because you cannot have shadows unless there is light somewhere. The tunnel is pitch black because there's no light whatever that comes into it. But the valley shows its shadows because there is light, the light of which we shall speak more in a moment. Sometimes in connection with this text, I think back to childhood days. And most of us here will remember the days when bedtime came, and mother gave you a candle. And the way you went upstairs with the candle, and sometimes the candle was put on the dressing table or somewhere. And maybe Mummy says, well, I'll be up and say goodnight. And time passes, and it seems as if she's forgotten all about it, or a caller comes, and you're lying in bed. What happens? The flickering of the candle produces shadows. And there are shapes and shadows dancing on the walls and on the ceiling. And childish imagination takes hold of these and begins to make something of these shadows. And sometimes fear can come in because of it. It seems as if the whole place becomes alive in the imagination of a child and becomes frightened. When we grow up, we smile. We say to ourselves, well, who's afraid of shadows? They've got no body, they've got no substance, they've got no strength, they can't do anything, they can't hurt you. It's just easy to see that children are just imagining. I wonder whether we can see a lesson in this. Maybe when we first began the Christian pathway, we were very young, and it seemed a long way before the valley would loom before us, and death was a tremendous mystery, and we couldn't understand it, and perhaps we even dreaded it. But as we grew older in the Christian life, perhaps we began to see it with more balance in our minds, as it were. We began to see that for the Christian at least, there is this lack of reality. The shadows are there. But we're dealing with shadows. Because this valley is the valley of the shadow, and not of the awful reality that it could have been. And so later on, as we grow older, and I discovered that as people grow older, as they come to the 80 years and 10 and beyond, as they face the fact that the valley must soon open before them, there comes a greater calm and a peace and an equanimity of spirit. And to the Christian, this is what it should be. The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's shadows. It's threats, but it's not substance. It's not the matter of reality. And this, of course, is all amplified in the reading that we had from the Corinthian letter. Did you notice how Paul finishes up by talking about the lack of reality? He says this, O death, where is thy sting? And the next verse he says, the sting of death is sin. And so he says, in this valley, the sting has been drawn. In other words, it's a powerless thing that you're up against. Where is thy victory, O grave? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Valley of the shadow of death is the place of the shadow. Maybe very gloomy, but it's the way to life. And I want us just calmly this morning to face this. None of us want to die. Most of us, because of our makeup, shrink from actually dying. But death itself to the Christian should hold no fear. There may be a shrinking physically, but the spirit should soar when it thinks of the possibilities and the wonder and the assurance of the fact of life in Jesus Christ. You see, the shepherd is leading the sheep through the valley. Always bear in mind the New Testament and Old Testament, the Bible view of the shepherd is always not of driving the sheep ahead, but always of leading. And the sheep, they're confident. The shadows are very gloomy and very dark and very threatening. But there's a shepherd there. And this is the key. Secondly, I want us to notice that the valley of the shadow of death leads to the continuation of life. It leads to the continuation of life. I said just now that this particular psalm begins with "The Lord is my shepherd." The valley comes in the middle, and then we go on to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And generally speaking, it's impossible for us to come to the house of the Lord forever without passing through the valley of the shadow of death. I've already referred to the one way in which that will be, we shall be exempt, that is the coming of our Lord, when there will be the translation of those who are living and his at the time. But here I want you to notice that all is brought into the continuing experience of this psalm. It's as it were the moving of the flock of sheep from one pasture to another. Catch the picture again. There's been all the wonder of verse 2, making me to lie down in green pastures. The peace, the pastor's understanding has been the experience in past days. He leads me beside the waters of stillness, and so on. And while the shepherd is doing this, and they're walking on together, moving on as they did in the east, it wasn't just a question of turning a flock of sheep into a field, shutting the gate, let them graze until the grass was cropped down and then moving them somewhere else. The shepherd literally had to take them from one place to another to find the water, to find the pasture, and to move on from one to another. And they walked from one to the other. And the verse that our text says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it's still a matter of walking with the shepherd. It's still a matter not of rushing, of panic, but of calm going on with the shepherd. Ah, you see what there is in all this. Here is the sheep that has kept close to the shepherd in those green pastures, learnt to depend upon him, learnt to experience his protection from wild animals, learnt that the shepherd provides the best pasture, and it pays to keep close to him. The sheep are near to him, they follow close to him, and they go on with him walking. My friends, this is very true regarding ourselves. If the man or the woman that has maintained their hold of the Savior through all the vicissitudes of life, who has been on the mountaintop experience, has been through the valley of Achor, the valley of Baikar, and so on, with the shepherd. This is the one who goes on walking with the Savior when it comes to the valley of the shadow. When he's in the valley, he knows that he walks with the Savior. You remember Enoch in the Old Testament? We don't read much about Enoch, but in Genesis we read that Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch, who went out walking with God and continually experiencing the presence and power of God. You see, if you want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear, with no foreboding, you must learn to walk with the shepherd now. This is the key. That we walk with him now, in order that we shall walk with him then.
We shall walk with him through our lives now. We shall know him intimately now. Our heart will be garrisoned with the peace of God which passes all understanding through all the dark experiences of life now. So that when we come to the valley of the shadow, it will be but a further experience of the peace which passes understanding garrisoning our hearts and minds. Now this is something that we need to see. We read in John's Gospel that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I said just now that this valley leads to the continuation of life. And this is exactly what it was. The shepherd leaped through the valley, and they come through the ever darkening part of the valley until they cross over into a new valley. A fresh pasture that they've never seen before. And all before them is joy and light. But you see, that which lies beyond the valley is hidden in eternity. It's hidden in the heavens. And for the Christian, there is this tremendous assurance in the heart. The assurance that we have eternal life. This is the great thing that strengthens our faith and strengthens our outlook. It isn't that we hope somehow that when we get beyond, we're going to be given eternal life as a reward for the good things we've done here. That isn't taught in the Word of God, as far as the new covenant in Christ is concerned. We receive eternal life as the gift of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And eternal life is not just the life that goes on and on. It's the quality of the life, the nature of the life. It is God's life implanted into the soul that was dead in trespasses and sins. And this life is something that cannot be broken, cannot be snapped, but which perseveres and goes through the valley. And the moment you have believed, you have this eternal life. You have become one, in the language of the psalm, who has taken my shepherd. And you go without fear. So the valley of the shadow leads to life continuing beyond. Now isn't this the great thrill of the Christian? Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And Paul is saying to the Christians, you've received a lot of from the Lord Jesus Christ already. You have come into a lot because of your experience of him on the earth plane. But there's coming a day when you're going to be lifted onto a different plane. You're going to be lifted onto a different plane. You're going to live without the surroundings of this mortal body, without the weakness of this body. Without the atmosphere of sin, without the pressure of the world, you're going to be a perfect being because you are in Christ. And your life, which is hid in Christ, is going to be lived on a perfect plane, in a perfect environment, which is called heaven. Continuation. Fellowship with God will continue. And so the shepherd leads his sheep through this darkening valley, into the new valley, because the sheep are following him and they are in fellowship with him, as it were. They're one with him, trusting him and following him. May I say something which sounds rather harsh, perhaps? But to the Christian, this valley of the shadow of death, placed in the setting of eternity, is incidental. I wonder whether we've come to see that this is true of death. In the setting of eternity, to those within whose hearts there resides eternal life and the assurance of that eternal life, it is incidental. We have the eternal life. God will not take it away from us. And this will lead us through. And finally, I want you to notice that the valley of the shadow of death is a scene of victory. Scene of victory. I wonder whether it is. Somebody has said that if you want to see the proof of a Christian faith, go and stand at a Christian deathbed and see the triumph and the glory of it. There's no hope for the non-Christian. We've already referred to this. There is the snuffing out of the candle, as it were. There is the fact that the person who has rejected Christ in their hearts have to answer to God for this. After death, there is the judgment. They have to face God. And it's a very dismal outlook, indeed, for the person who dies without Christ, who has had the opportunity of eternal life in Christ. But with a Christian, it is not so. You remember when we were looking at the Valley of Baker, that Valley of Weeping, we saw that the person entering into that valley passed through the Valley of Baker, went through it in order to reach the place of Mount Zion, going up to worship. And here again the psalmist has used the same word. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he goes on into life, into the newness of life. It's through. It's a gateway. It's a passage that is brief. It leads into the place of God, into fellowship with God, into the home of God. But it's also the place of victory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Another thing that Paul said when he was writing to those Corinthian folk was the same thing, the shout that comes, the shout of triumph. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, speaks about the joy and the wonder and the victory that is there. He speaks about the in the twinkling of an eye, the changing of the last trump. The trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The place of victory. I expect that we have no victory in our life. As Christians, we have known victory. This is what we were looking at in Goliath with the Valley of Elah. We have known victory as we have fought spiritual battles, as we've come up against temptation, as we have pursued our pilgrimage day by day in this life. We know what victory is. But we shall also know what victory is in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. To the Christian, this is not defeat. When the Christian dies, it is not the woeful end of everything. It's the beginning of the life which is victorious indeed. So we come into the valley of the shadow. And the sheep are going through this valley. And they see the shadows, but they cling close to the shepherd. There may be wild animals still lurking amongst those rocks, waiting to pounce upon the sheep. Upon the one that is timid, the one that is straying. For those keeping up with the shepherd, they are perfectly safe. And for them, though there might be wild animals on either side, the valley of the shadow is the place of victory. They are walking calmly with the shepherd in perfect security. The writer to the Hebrews puts this again, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And the writer there points right back to the cross, and points back to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross and died, and went into this valley. And in this valley, he defeated Satan on his own ground. The one thing that Satan held, death itself, as a threat over Christians, as a threat, as it were, against the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the thing that he triumphed over, destroying Satan in the very act by which Satan sought to destroy him. And the Christian is likewise in the place of victory. It's right here that we shall see the monster crushed. the place where it seems that he is finally triumphed, and is the very place where he has finally lost out and been defeated. Oh yes, you come through the valley of the shadow of death, and Satan may very well try to frighten us. It's his last opportunity. You see, the Christian has escaped the snare of Satan when he first came to Christ, when he put himself under the shelter and the protection of the shepherd. Satan has threatened all kinds of things to you since, but once you have realized that your life is hid in Christ, with God, you realize that you're unassailable, and so you've discovered that the triumph of the daily walk of the Christian in your life has been the daily walk by the shepherd, by the side of the shepherd. The valley of the shadow of death. There's no escaping it. Let us come to terms with it. Let us realize it. But there's no need to dread it if you belong to Christ. If you walk now with him, then you walk then. And if the eye of faith has become dim, let us ask again that the Lord will quicken our faith. The valley of the shadow. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore shall I want nothing. The pathway through the valley begins to darken. The rocks begin to overpower. But the shepherd has been this way before. The Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are trusting for eternal life and eternal salvation, he went this way. Isn't it a good thing to realize he did? He truly died on the cross, and he walked the pathway through the valley of the shadow alone to come out in glorious triumph in the resurrection that followed. And do you think that your shepherd is going to take you somewhere where he's already been that will be of trouble to you, that will harm you? Surely not. The shepherd has the interest of the sheep at heart, and he always takes them into the best places, and everything is done for their best. So he brings us through the place of victory. I want to leave it with two thoughts in mind. I've already referred to the narrowness of the valley, and the fact that the pathway begins to narrow down. And when we apply this to ourselves, instead of thinking of the shepherd going ahead as we have just thought, let us think of him walking by our side. Perhaps that is a greater comfort to us. Let us reassure ourselves that however narrow this path becomes that we have to tread through the valley of the shadow, there's always room for the Savior to walk by my side. And what an assurance that gives. The other thing that I want just to leave with you is this. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you come through this valley, there is only one thing that can be ahead, and that's the brightness of the light of heaven. And the glory of the pastures into which he will lead us. And the sight of the good shepherd going on ahead, and the place where the Lamb is the light for all believers.